Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm jacked up today. I've got lots of energy. So this is going to be one of the higher energy sounding podcasts, which is good because sometimes I listen back and I'm like, wow, who would want to listen to that voice? I sound so meh. But not today. Today is a special day because I slept in. So that was that was lovely to get a little sleep in. So today is Super Bowl Sunday. I'm recording this on the same day I'm publishing it so I can just be all like real time. Roy is in San Francisco today to watch the game with his family because he is fortunate enough to come from a city that has a team that goes to the Super Bowl. So I was just telling Amanda and Marco, I was like, you know, I think that I would probably come to Minnesota if the Vikings were in the Super Bowl, but I guess I don't have to make that decision because I don't see that happening in my lifetime. It hasn't happened in my lifetime thus far, I don't think. I think they actually went to the Super Bowl one time. Maybe they didn't win it if they did. We have no Super Bowl champions in Minnesota. Lame. I have a lot of opinions about that because the owners of the Minnesota Vikings are like richer than God. And I just feel like if you're going to buy a team and you're going to, you know, you don't buy things to lose money. You're buying a team. You're trying to make money. Why don't you try to get your act together and get us some wins instead of getting us close and then breaking our hearts, Mr. Ziggy Wilf. Makes me mad. I know there's more to it than that, but in my brain, it's not. You bought the team. Why don't you use some of that money to buy us some freaking championship rings, okay? Get us a quarterback that's more concerned about winning than wearing, you know, big chains around his neck and looking like a total and complete goober. I said it, a goober. He looks like a goober walking around being like, you like that? No, Kirk Cousins. Anyway, this is digressing. I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan. Kirk Cousins is like, he's an okay football player. But he's a nerd, and he's embarrassing to me. Minnesota has enough things to be embarrassed about. We don't need a goober quarterback who says things like, you like that, as his mantra? What are we talking about? Do we like that? I don't get it. Anyway, if you've watched the Netflix series, I think it's called Quarterback, where they followed four quarterbacks for a season, Kirk Cousins was one of them, and the whole thing is just embarrassing. I think he's a good human. He's clearly like Mr., you know, meat and potatoes, church-going Christian guy, family guy. It's all so wholesome. But the NFL is not about wholesome. The NFL is about, like, you know, what do you got? You got to have some spark and some life to you. Anyway. So all that to say, I won't ever have to go to Minnesota to watch the Super Bowl with my family, to watch my team in it. So, but Roy is there. He got the flu this past week and he traveled against Dr. Kristen's orders. I'm not his mom, so it's not my problem. But I was not pleased that he went when he was still not 100%. But, you know, I kept asking him throughout the week. I'm like, are you sure it's a good idea for you to fly out on Friday? And he was like, we aren't talking about it. I'm going. So stop talking about it. He's apparently getting better, but he got just a wicked flu. Not COVID, just a wicked flu. Like fever, crazy headache, body aches. He was in the bed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He started to get up and around on Thursday, and he shouldn't have been, but he was faking it because I was looking at him with one squinty eye because he was going to fly out the next day, and he wanted to put on a show of how good he felt. And he didn't feel good, but I let him pretend, and he flew out Friday, and he's going to enjoy watching his team lose today. That's my prediction. You know, it's hard to beat Taylor Swift in anything, much less the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift is playing the Super Bowl against the rest of the world. So if ever I believed sports were rigged, which I sort of do, I really believe that they're rigged. And I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win because they have Taylor Swift,
on their side, and there's nobody that's going to let anything bad happen to Taylor Swift ever. It's just, she's the goddess of the world at this point in time. So, I'm not against her. I like a lot of her music. Let's just face it. She's the biggest music star right now in the world, maybe. And she's had this really long career, and she's managed to not have a sex scandal, not have a Nipplegate scandal. She's not provocative, and she's not disgusting and filthy with her language and her music. She's not promoting rebellion. She's not doing all of these things that a lot of superstars and pop stars have done to just get attention and to sell albums. And she's managed to be the sweetheart of women my age, women 10 years younger than me, 20-year-olds, kids. I mean, there are men who listen to her music and won't admit it, but so, she's done a phenomenal job, so that's great. But, there's a part of me that's like, why do you have to also win the Super Bowl? Can't you stay in your lane? So, that when they win that game, that Patrick Mahomes, they're going to want to talk to him, right? I'm sure he'll be the MVP. But the cameras are going to be on Taylor Swift, and the cameras are going to be talking to her boyfriend, and it's going to be all talked about tomorrow about the Taylor Swift effect. And it's just, it's fine, okay? But it's also just annoying. Can we just have sports be sports? The other side of the coin is marketing people are loving this because they have a whole new audience. We've got people watching the Super Bowl, youngsters, kiddos, teenagers that never cared about football that now all of a sudden care about football. Hence why I think a lot of it is rigged, because there are people making a lot of money off of this. I didn't plan to say any of that, but that's the beauty of having a podcast. Anyway, so Roy is gone, and when Roy is gone, my life kind of falls apart because he does everything. I don't do anything. Last week when my friend Courtney was here for the marathon, it was funny because she has visited me several times here in Miami. And before Roy, it's just me in this little condo, and she's seen all the iterations of me settling in. When I first moved here, it's a furnished condo that I'm renting. And, I had got some fluffy rugs and I had these like frills and things. But as boot camp grew, my space changed, and I had one wagon and then two wagons and eventually three wagons in the middle of the living room, and, big garage style shelving for dumbbells. And I mean, she's just watched my beautiful little condo turn into a garage, and then my attempts to kind of make it homey. And this was her first time being here since I married Roy, and Roy is super amazing at making spaces look better than they should be able to. And he's turned our home into a home, and we rented a cabana for all of the wagons of boot camp things. And so that's all outside now and not in the living room. And so we have a living space, and it is cozy, and it's light and beautiful. And so when Courtney came and she saw this, she basically was like, wow, Roy has, the Roy effect is noticeable. And so when he's not here, I revert to my, I kind of like a 16-year-old boy and kind of how I live sometimes. Not because I'm a slob, but because I am constantly moving from a personal training client in the gym downstairs and then a personal training client in the park, which means I have to grab the cabana keys, go down, get the dumbbells, load the wagon, go to the park, come back, put the wagon back, drop the keys off. Then I'll have a call. So then it's grab a cup of coffee, pee really quick, fill up my water bottle, go sit in my office, sit on a video call. And then I'll maybe have a nutrition coaching client that I'm meeting at a coffee shop. So then it's quick change my clothes, walk somewhere, come back. So I'm doing this, what I call the burn and turn. So I'm dropping a bunch of stuff, grabbing a bunch of stuff, and I don't have a lot of time. So the coffee cups pile up in the sink and the water bottle sit on the couch, and then I'll, drop the keys and I change my clothes, and it just looks like it's insane. And when Roy is here, Roy is ready for what's next. He will load the wagon. He will pour my coffee. He will throw the laundry into the where it's supposed to go. He makes my life easy. And when he is not here, I go, holy buckets, how did I survive before Roy? So I miss him. That's the moral of that. Ladies, I will have to say to you, when you meet the person that you are meant to be with, you will be astounded at how they were made for you. I am astounded how Roy was literally created just for me. There's just no doubt in my mind. And ladies, if you are already with the person that was created for you, don't take them for granted. Notice all of those little things they do for you. I'm ashamed to say I've only been married to him for a few months, and I already will take things for granted and get nitpicky and naggy about things. And it's not until he leaves that I go, holy buckets, girl, you are so lucky and you are so well loved. So ladies, let's all take our spouses for granted, not for granted, and be extra grateful together. So I love my little Roy Ray. He's the best. He comes home tomorrow night, and I'm sad that he's gonna be so sad about his team losing. Now, if I'm wrong and they win, that's everybody wins. I'm totally fine being wrong and, you know, laughing all the way. I want his team to win. It's just not happening in my opinion. Anyway, last week didn't post a podcast. I don't remember where I am in my weekly podcast, but I have not talked about my trip home to Minnesota. But I went to Minnesota and it was epic. We had a few days to. I didn't fill every single day up to the brim like I usually do. So we had some downtime and it was wonderful to go home and see my family and have some Caribou coffee, spend some time in Target. You know, Target is just, I know I have a lot of friends and family who won't shop at Target because of their beliefs and because of what Target does or does not stand for. I don't know anything about it, because I do not pay attention to those things, because I have enough in my life to pay attention to. But I love Target, and maybe they're Satan. I don't know. But they put together a good display of things that I want to look at and touch and try on. And for that, I'm thankful, because I get some joy out of that. And if there are little like baby dolphins being sacrificed at Target's headquarters, then I'm real sorry. As far as I know, I don't know. But I love me some Target, and I'm not going to apologize for that. And if you want to send me Kristen at thekristenexperience.com, send me all the reasons why I should hate Target. I'll read them. Maybe you can change my mind. But in the meantime, I got to bask in Target. They had Valentine's displays, and they had this giant, long, puffy, pink tutu skirt that I bought because I was supposed to do a photo shoot and a podcast there with this woman I met at the fair, but it didn't end up working out for various reasons. But I bought it and I was going to wear it in a photo shoot, and I was so excited. And I didn't have the photo shoot, so I returned it, and it was a stupid mistake because I should be wearing that here. But anyway, and then Caribou, which I have to talk about Caribou for a second, because I've been loud and vocal about how much I love Caribou. And as soon as I land, I go and I get a hot crafted press at the arrivals level. And then I drink it in the time it takes to go downstairs to the baggage claim level, where there is another Caribou, and I get an additional hot crafted press. And so I have two before I leave the Minneapolis St. Paul airport. That's what I do. And then every single day I go to every Caribou I possibly can, and I load up on Caribou coffee because I love it so much. Not because it's good, but because it's home. But the last time we were there, I had set my Caribou app to reload so I could pay with it. And when I got home, I took a look at it, and holy mother firecrackers, they are so expensive. And if someone who lives in Miami is calling something else expensive, then you know it's friggin' expensive. I don't know what they're thinking, and I don't understand why, because their coffee is subpar. I know this. Their coffee is weak and kind of sour, bitter. It's not good, but it's nostalgic, so I drink it. But for like two large coffees or extra large, and they have an extra large size, which is one of the reasons I really like them. Let's just get me a 24-ounce coffee already. Starbucks, you need a Trenta hot coffee. Get on the game. But it's like $11, $12 for Roy and I every time we would get coffee at Caribou. And that's insane. That's insane. And so when we were in Minnesota last time, which was, I think, September, I think we spent, I'm not going to say how much. It's embarrassing. And so this time I'm like, screw that. I did get my initial landing coffee at Caribou, but we went to Starbucks the rest of the time we were there because it was literally half the price. And so I'm over it. The crafted press, the hot crafted press is delicious, but it's not $7.50 delicious. It's just not. I'm becoming very frugal and no. So I did have some Caribou, but they need to get their act together. It's too expensive and it's just ridiculous and it's insulting. I can buy a bag of coffee and make coffee for a week at my house for less than one of their cups of crappy coffee. So I'm over it. Caribou, you and I have broken up. When I land in Minnesota from now on, I will have it once. I might have it another time because nostalgia, but that's it. So the main reason that I went home to see my family was to see my family, but also needed to do some research about my book. I'm writing my memoir, which I'm really excited. And people keep asking me, are you going to like write this and publish it? Yes, I'm writing this like I'm writing a book. And my goal is to publish this book and get it out there. So it's a big project, but I told myself I'm not starting this unless I'm going to complete this and it's going to be a book and it's happening. So yes. And so it's important that I dedicate significant amount of time to this and also that I get the information right because I'm writing a story about my life, but there's a lot of people I'm going to be talking about and I have to make some assumptions about, you know, motives and intent in some cases. But when it comes to my family, it's not, you know, I can't assume anything. I need to get information. So I had to get some facts, some like basic stuff, like what year was it when you did blah, blah, blah? What was the order in which my parents moved to Minnesota and things like that? But, you know, I'm going to talk a lot about the church I was raised in. And I can't guess what motives were. I can't guess. I can guess at what motives were and I can guess at what led people to do certain things. But in the case of my parents, I can ask. I can ask their perspectives and I can just get their insights because I want to write a book that is true to my story and very honest about how things affected me. But I want to, in the end, write a story that points to the fact that people, human beings, do make mistakes, but we can look back and I can look back in my life and I can do everything that I can to give them the benefit of the doubt and to assume that there was a motive or a reason behind it that was not malicious so that I can let all of those people off the hook, forgive freely and love them so that my life is full of joy and peace and love and freedom. And if that's possible for me, it's possible for everyone. I believe that. And so it's hard when I don't know a lot of details about things to be able to even try to imagine what could have possibly gone wrong that this bad thing happened. Where, what belief is the villain? So I got to sit down and have some really long conversations with my parents and with my siblings, and it was tough. It was emotionally draining. I don't believe that there's merit in going back into your past and reliving and talking about and digging into things. I just don't. But in this case, I have to if I'm going to tell the story, and I want to tell the story well, and I want my story to encourage everyone to look back at their story and find redemption for those players, for those characters, because it sets you free. And so it was just informative and also it was a good reminder to me that just because I have certain perspectives that have set me free does not mean that other people do or want them. You cannot tell someone that they must look back at their life in a certain, with a new lenses. You can't. Other people have been hurt in ways that I haven't been hurt from this church. Other people experienced things that I didn't. I got off easy compared to how some people were treated in my church. And so I don't get to tell them how they should or shouldn't think. I don't get to tell them who, you know, how to see these people. I don't. All I can do is tell my story that way. All I can do is share my perspective and hope that it illuminates a new thought here or there that might help others find a little bit more peace and freedom, find a little bit more love for the road that they walked, and to be able to forgive just a little bit more. That's all I can do. But, you know, and like in talking to my siblings, I'm the youngest. I was given a lot more privilege. I was given a lot more, I was let off the hook a lot more. And a lot of things in our church had mellowed by the time I came along. So what I experienced that was terrible with a little t compared to the terrible with a capital T that went on that affected my sister or my brother. And so I don't get to tell them how to feel. And also, you know, it reminded me that while I have forgiven and love these people in the church that I was raised in, there are more people that have been hurt than I realize. And it makes me just pray for God to illuminate and show forgiveness and grace and healing for the other people that were hurt really terribly. It's really unfortunate. And so it was just a lot. It was a lot. But I got to have some really great conversations with my parents. And, you know, the love for my parents just deepens every time I'm with them and every time I get to talk to them. And my gratitude for the sacrifices that they made and how well they loved me and, you know, how much they instilled in my siblings and me based on the phenomenal people they are. I've spent way too much time in my life discrediting them because I was angry or hurt about my story. And I'm grateful that's not how I feel. So I hope the rest of the way that I can just bring them honor and respect and love and make up for all the years I held their feet to the fire for too long. You know, that's the thing. Someone does something wrong. And especially when it comes to our parents, our tendency, I think, as humans, our parents grew up in some way. And a lot of us just feel like we got to hold them accountable forever. And it's insane. You know, when I think about the mistakes I made with my son has forgiven me and given me so much grace. And I'm so grateful because I was terrible. I was a terrible mom in so many instances where I made big, fat, hairy, terrible, selfish decisions. And in the moment, I could have done better, but I didn't. And, you know, he could hold me accountable and blame me and be angry and never speak to me again. And he'd be justified in a lot of people's eyes. And he's chosen to love me and give me grace. And that has set me free. And I'm so grateful. And I don't want my parents to feel bad about anything. It's what's done is done. And they have created three phenomenal people. I believe that my siblings and I are great human beings. My siblings, my brother and my sister are just a couple of the greatest people on earth. And it's in spite of, you know, hurts that happened. And then it's because of the intentional hard work and training and work that they put into their children. And I'm so grateful. So it was wonderful to be home. Poor Roy got to sit around for 5 days and listen to conversations about people he's never met, situations he's never been around. And then my mom at one point looked at him and said, "What do you think about all of this, Roy?" And he's like, I love Kristen and I think you raised good people. Roy deserves a medal. But anyway, it was good. Oh, we went back and I showed Roy the houses that I grew up in or that I lived in when I was married. And then we went back to the church building that that was where I went to church. There were two buildings. There was one in Forest Lake that is torn down and there's houses built there now. So it's not there. But we drove by that area and it's so funny because there's houses there. But my eyes see the old building. Like it's still there in my mind's eye and I just put it there. And it's really emotional to just drive down those streets and be like, wow, man, it's just an overload. And then the second church, the church they moved into in like 1994 in White Bear Lake, I was driving past it to show him, but there was a Stanley Steamer carpet cleaning van there and another vehicle and the door was open. I'm like, I'm going in. So we actually went in and the pastor of the church that's there now was there and I asked us if I could just walk around. I used to attend there and he was super, super nice. So went into the sanctuary and there again, poor Roy, I walked in there and I just like lost it. I was just, the energy in that building that was there when I attended is still there. And when I say energy is like, I walked in and was immediately covered in shame. And that same feeling of futility hit me. When I went to church there, you know, the doctrine that was preached was one of just striving and seeking and trying to be good enough. And I had a sense of just broken futility when I was there. You know, the doctrine was basically like, when you're raised there, you're chosen, and you, if you can keep yourself pure and holy and not basically not screw up, you have the chances at this massive reward. And when I screwed up, when I, you know, chose to go against my quote unquote calling and, you know, marry my first husband and make this big act of rebellion, it was very clear that, like, you have broken that possibility. And, you know, the analogy was, you're a piece of coal and God is going to make a big diamond out of you. But if you screw up, he can still, like, we can still kind of salvage something valuable out of you, but you've really blown it. You can never be as wonderful and beautiful as God intended. And so when I quote unquote screwed up, you know, I tried to still, you know, please God, but that whole idea that I could ever be worthy of God was gone. And so that feeling of like uselessness and pathetic shame, that's what I lived under when I was in that church. And whether that was intended or not, that is how it manifested in my life. And walking in there, and I went up and I stood at the altar, and I just was overwhelmed with that same sense of, you're a piece of crap. And this, I had the same sense of longing of looking up and like begging God, please just still take me. Please just still have me. Please do something with me. I know I've screwed up, but I just, you, surely God, you can redeem this pathetic piece of crap that I am. That's how I felt going to that church, and that's how I felt standing in that building. And I was like, I gotta get out of here, because I don't ever feel that way. I have been shown by my Creator that I am so loved and I am so valuable, and I always was, and I didn't screw anything up. I couldn't screw anything up. God cannot possibly not love me passionately. I came from pure love. I am pure love, and I'm a little perfect droplet of God, and God is delighted because I am part of God, I'm part of Him. I can't screw this up. That's how I feel walking around now, and I want everyone to feel that. But standing in that building, that energy that was put on me was there. I was like, I gotta get out of here. There's nothing in this building for me. I don't want any part of that idea that I have to beg and plead to be worthy. And the villain is not the people that ran that church. The villain is that idea that was perpetuated. I just recently feel like I fully shook it off. It was so familiar. And it was so, that song of despair was so familiar to my heart. I sang it my whole life until I finally was given a different song. And that song is, I'm worthy and I am love. And I like that one. I like that one a whole lot more. And I want that for everyone, because that's truth. That's power. That makes me want to go out and be the greatest person to everyone that I possibly can. That motivates me to be good. You know, the other side of it was like, try to be good so God will somehow redeem me, versus I am redeemed. And so therefore, I want to do all of the greatness that I possibly can. It's just flipping the script, you know? Anyway, so glad to go, glad to come home. Although it is tough when you come from somewhere and then you live somewhere that you love. I don't really know which one is home. Like, that's home, but not anymore. And so when I'm there, I miss home here. And then when I'm in Miami, my heart cries out to be near my family, and I feel like I want to go home, but I'm home. And so I know lots of people know what that feels like. Anybody who's left where they come from, I think that's just how it is. And it's just always feeling like you're in between. But I'm lucky that I have two places that feel so full of love. It was so wonderful to see my family. So also got to go to Iowa and see my dear aunt and uncle, Don and David. I love getting to go to the old farm and reminisce and remember the joy of being a kid, going to the farm and seeing my family there. So it was a beautiful trip. Glad to go. Glad to come home. It was unseasonably warm there, which was so awesome. Left here, it was like 50 degrees, and then got there and it was 50 degrees. So it was super cool. I didn't have to freeze my buns off. So Anyway, that was the trip. Now you're updated on all the things. If you like a protein shake, so do I. I have spent a lot of time trying to find the protein shake that actually tastes good, but that is good for me, that doesn't cause bloat. Whey protein totally destroys my body. I still like it, but I get a pregnant belly and it doesn't agree with me. And a lot of people have dairy intolerances without realizing it. And so the solution for that is a clean beef-based protein powder so you can supplement your protein intake in a delicious way. It tastes like dessert. It doesn't taste like meat, and feel good about it. So equipfoods.com, go there. You can see their entire line of prime protein powders. They have delicious flavors, strawberry, peanut butter, salted caramel. Chocolate is my favorite. It's also got the fewest ingredients other than the unflavored version, which is great because that's just the pure beef protein isolate. You can add it to recipes. You can add it to smoothies. You can add it to stock. But if you want it to be a shake and taste like dessert, the chocolate one, it's cocoa powder, organic stevia, and the protein isolate. So it's super clean. You can feel good about it. No aftertaste, no chalky residue. It's also really smooth. If you have a Ninja Creami and you make creamies, this is an amazing protein powder for it. It's the creamiest one I have ever found, which is just lovely because this is the protein powder that I'll be using now. You can use code THEKRISTENEXPERIENCE for 15% off your order at equipfoods.com. Do not wait. It's amazing. You're going to love it. They also have a full line of beef collagen. They also have colostrum, which the benefits of adding beef colostrum to your diet are monumental. You should read up on it on their website. Their website's phenomenal. All kinds of great information on why beef protein isolate is better for you than whey and how clean their process is, how superior their process and ingredients is to any other brand. It's phenomenal. Don't wait. Equipfoods.com. Use code THEKRISTENEXPERIENCE at checkout to save 15%. Weight loss plateaus. I'm going to give you a little strategy to break a weight loss plateau. It's a strategy and it's a protocol. So you might need to take notes on this. But there are a lot of people who are chronic dieters, who are yo-yo dieters, or have been trying to lose that same 10 pounds for a long time and are stuck and frustrated. And you're like, I can't eat less. I can't move more. And for some reason, I'm just stuck. I can't get the scale to move. I'm having a hard time sticking to my diet. I'm bored of what I'm eating. And, you know, a lot of times plateaus happen because we're eating more than we really think we are. We're not getting the nutrition that we actually need, so our body is not functioning at its prime. Maybe we're over-exercising, under-sleeping. We've got cortisol levels going up. Whatever it is, there's ways to break weight loss plateaus in a healthy way so that you're nourishing your body and you're giving your body a chance to recover. You're giving your body the proper nutrients it needs while removing crap. And so if you're experiencing a weight loss plateau and you're like, hey, I want to do something about it, this is tried and true. This is basically a protocol. I just put a bunch of my clients on this for a couple of weeks. And this is a way that you can focus on what you are doing instead of what you're not supposed to have. So I'm just going to walk through this for you. Weight loss plateau would be like if you're going up a couple pounds and down a couple pounds, up a pound, down a pound, and you're staying in the same 5 or 10 pound range and you want to bust it right open. This is going to require some discipline. It's going to require a little bit of preparation, but it's going to flip the script enough that it's going to feel not punitive and you shouldn't be hungry. And you shouldn't be worried about, how much or how little you're eating. Okay, so here we go. Number one, the factors involved in breaking through a plateau is challenging your body, pushing your body into a direction that it hasn't gone. Number two, it's about a little bit of a shock to your system, to kind of your body to say, wait, I've got to do something different. And number three, it requires different inputs in different quantities or different applications. So none of this is going to be rocket science, but all of the combinations of this are important. So if this is something you want to do, you need to do all of this, not just one little element of it. One little element of it might be helpful, but if you really want to get some results to get your scale to move, you need to do all of these elements. Number one, you're going to eat real food. And when I say real food, I mean real food, like real single source food. You're going to eat a chicken breast. You're going to eat a steak. You're going to eat an egg. You're going to eat an apple. You're not going to eat a product, a can of soup. You're not going to eat instant things or a frozen thing, a lean cuisine meal. You're going to eat single source real food, single source to the best possible ability. Now, single source, you know, there are some things that might be messed with a little bit, but for the most part, single source. So real food. So you're going to be eating. We're going to focus first on what you're going to be eating. And this is important. You cannot deviate from this. This is, I can't repeat it. And I guess I could repeat it 10 times. I don't want to, but I'm going to say it. And this is true. You have to do these things exactly. So real food, single source. You're going to be choosing animal proteins, meat. So pork, beef, poultry, and eggs. That's your protein. You're going to be eating meat and eggs as your protein sources. You're not going to be eating any dairy, no Greek yogurts, no cottage cheeses, etc. This is a protocol of either 2 weeks, which is what I recommend, or 1 week if you just want to dabble, but ideally 2 weeks. Meat and eggs, that's your protein. If you want to, and because I endorse it and I use it, you can also use beef-based collagen protein isolate. The Prime Protein from Equip Foods is the brand I use. There are other brands, but this is grass-fed beef protein with only one or two other clean ingredients. So the chocolate is what I recommend because it's cocoa powder, organic stevia, and grass-fed beef protein. That would be just fine too, that protein powder. You can have coffee or tea, and you can have almond milk or coconut milk, but no dairy. So you will be eating meat and eggs for your protein, Prime protein powder. You can have coffee, tea, obviously water, and almond milk. You'll also be having as much vegetable as you want. Green vegetables. I wouldn't eat a lot of like cauliflower because you're going to get more nutrients from greens than a white cauliflower, but you can have cauliflower. As much vegetable as you want, focusing on dark leafy greens, spinach, romaine, cabbage, purple cabbage, zucchini, cherry tomatoes, carrots, bell peppers, bok choy, vegetables. Massive amounts of vegetables if you want them. You're also going to, every single day, you will eat these things every single day. This isn't an option. You will eat one large apple, you will eat one large sweet potato, and one banana every single day. Now, if you don't like one of those things, you can have two of one of the other ones, but you can't have three apples or three sweet potatoes. You got to have two of these things. But so, for example, if you don't like sweet potato, you could have two banana and an apple, or two apple and a banana. But ideally, if you like all three of these things, every single day you're going to eat an apple, a banana, and a sweet potato. It's non-negotiable. If it gets to be toward the end of the day and you haven't gotten one of those in, get it into your body, period. And you're not going to skip these things. These are your carbohydrates. They are healthy. They are good for you. Healthy and good for you. It means the same thing. They're healthy. They're the best carbohydrate natural fuel for what we're doing. All right. So that's what you'll be eating. As much vegetable as you want, an apple, a banana, and a sweet potato. And then you're going to be eating eggs, Prime protein powder if you want to, and meat. Oh, and fish. So 2 weeks. Now, how you're going to do this? You are going to be fasting a minimum of 13 hours every single day. That means you're going to have 13 hours every single day where you're not eating. The best way to do this is to stop eating at a certain time at night, and then 13 hours later is when you have your first meal. 13 hours minimum every single day. Why? Because that gives your body a chance to switch from the sugar burning energy system, which is what's activated when you're eating, and spend 13 hours in the fat burning energy system when you're fasting. It takes you 8 hours after your last meal to get to that fat burning energy system, and then you want to stay there for a period of time. So you're going to fast for 13 hours. This means you're going to have to look at your schedule and see when this works best. Most people, it works best to just have your dinner at a certain time, stop eating immediately, and then using your sleep window for that fat, for that fasting window. You need to eat your last meal 2 hours before you go to bed at a minimum. So this is one where it can get like, this isn't super important, but it's going to aid in your weight loss plateau busting. 2 hours after dinner is when you go to sleep. So if you stop eating dinner at 6 o'clock, or if you go to bed, work backwards from when you go to bed. If you go to bed at 9 o'clock, you need to be done eating for the day at 7, period. All right. And isn't your fasting 13 hours? Your first meal isn't until 8 a.m. the next day. So you're going to have to pay attention to your schedule and work this in. If you don't ever fast for 13 hours, this is going to be a challenge, but you're going to be just fine, I promise. We'll talk a little bit more about the reasons for this once I'm done telling you. So to recap, you're going to be eating meat and eggs and prime protein. You can have coffee and tea and almond milk unsweetened. You can have as much veg as you want, and you're going to eat a banana, a sweet potato, an apple, and you're going to do all of that in an 11-hour period of eating. 11 hours minimum. So if you're doing this for 2 weeks, you need to get your calendar out. You need to plan this. Now, how are you going to structure how you're, I know you're saying, well, how much? Here's the thing. I want you to have 3 meals per day and 1 snack. So when you wake up in the morning and you have your breakfast after you fast for 13 hours, you can have any quantity that you want of meat, eggs, vegetables, that banana, apple, sweet potato, whatever you want. You're going to eat until you're full. And once you start eating, you have 11 hours to get your up to 3 meals. If you want to do 2 meals plus the snack is fine. But I want you to stop eating when you're full. And when you're eating these single source proteins, you're going to get full and you are going to know when you're full. So I recommend really, really isolating your breakfast into just protein and fat. So I wouldn't have vegetables at breakfast unless it was like in an omelet. I would get a nice heavy protein and fat breakfast in your body. It's going to keep you full. You're going to kick into that sugar burning fuel system because you're eating, but you're not giving your body sugar. So your blood sugar isn't going to spike and then need a bunch of insulin and then crash. So for me, I do eggs and bacon for breakfast, or eggs and ham, or eggs and chicken sausage. You're not afraid of fat in this plateau busting situation. You want to be eating healthy fats. So eggs and egg whites with some meat, or just some mornings I just get up and I have like 6 eggs. But eggs are a great way to start the day. They're the perfect food. And again, you can have coffee. Say, well, can I have cream in my coffee? No. You are not eating any dairy. You are not eating any gluten. You are not eating any condiments. No condiments. You are eating salt and pepper or spice blends that don't have sugar in them. No junk food, no alcohol. The reason I didn't say that at the beginning is because this is about focusing on what to eat, not what you're eating. Not what you're not eating. So when you're focused on, I got to get my body full of protein and healthy fats, I got to get a ton of veg in, and I've got to get these 3 carbohydrates in, you're focusing on what you're putting in your body and not all the things you're not eating. So you have a nice healthy breakfast. When you get hungry for lunch, that's a time to have a big ass salad with a bunch of protein on top. Make a big pile of greens, add in cherry tomatoes, add in carrots, and then top it with bacon, with avocado, healthy fat, with chicken or with beef or with salmon, and then eat it from the top down. Start with the protein, get the protein in first, and then fill up the rest of the way with the vegetables. If you do this, if you have a big breakfast of eggs and meat, and then you have a giant salad covered in protein, you are going to be very full. There should be no reason why you can't get through the afternoon without a snack. But remember, you've got to get your sweet potato in, your banana, and your apple. So if you need a snack, that's when you have those for your afternoon snack, or you incorporate them into your first 2 meals. And then dinner, you got to be done eating so that you have 2 hours until you go to bed. Dinner, again, is a protein pile and vegetables. Have a steak with broccoli. Have a pork loin with a nice vegetable medley or a salad. Get that protein in and those vegetables in. You got to be done eating at 7 o'clock. You don't get a bedtime snack. You've got to finish eating 2 hours before you go to bed if your bedtime is 9 o'clock. This is a way for you to fuel your body
and then give your body a chance to process, reset your insulin levels, give your body a chance to actually rest and not be eating all the time. So your body stops with the sugar burning and then moves to the fat burning. It gives your digestive system a chance to rest. You're only giving your body nourishment. You're not giving it chemicals. You're not giving it sugar. You're not giving it high fructose corn syrup. You're not giving it bad seed oils. You're giving your body only things that your body knows exactly what to do with. Your body knows how to efficiently and powerfully burn for energy and power and will fuel your brain, fuel your body, fuel your muscles. That's why it's so powerful. Your body is getting everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't, because you're giving it powerful, single-sourced, healthy, nourishing food. Organic if possible, grass-fed if possible. Those eggs should be pasture, cage-free, organic, happy eggs. Those vegetables should be organic. Those fruits should be organic if possible. It's not the end of the world if they're not, but that's how you do it. We'll see, how do I cook these things? Cook them in coconut oil or ghee. None of this cooking spray stuff. I know there's zero calories. Hogwash. It's zero calories for a quarter of a second length spray. It all adds up. Coconut oil, ghee, or butter. Small amounts. Don't go nuts. You want to eat your food, not swim your food in it. Or air fry. You say, okay, what do I put on my salad? Vinegar and oil. Clean. Extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of balsamic vinegar. Or you could make a nice salsa. I like to put salsa on my salads and make it, put some taco seasoning spices in there. Top it with a bunch of ground beef, turn it into a taco salad. That's as much condiment as you need. Get an air fryer. Air fry a bunch of zucchini and onions for your vegetables. Air fry some chicken legs for some really fast, delicious protein. Focus on what you're eating and what you're not. But you're not having alcohol. You're not eating junk food. You're not eating anything out of a package or a bag. You're not dumping ketchup and mayonnaise and mustard on everything. You're not drinking soda. You're not eating gluten or dairy. So in your coffee, organic stevia. Organic stevia or monk fruit, those are two sweeteners that are natural. If you need to have something sweet, that's what I use. It's hard for me. I love Splenda. I just do. But I'm working on getting that less and less and less ever in my life. Right now, the only time I have Splenda is if I'm at a coffee shop and they don't have organic stevia. But those types of things, pull them out. I really like the liquid organic stevia drops that they have at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods. But do this for 2 weeks. And then you report back to me how you feel, number one, and what happens to your scale. When you're hungry, you need to stop eating. When you're full, I can't speak today. When you're full, you need to stop eating. When you're hungry, if you're out of your fasting window, you need to honor that hunger with a meal. This works. Not only does it work to break the plateau on the scale, but you feel good. Getting your body to rest as soon as you're done eating dinner and then going to sleep and getting 13 hours of fasting, it's going to change how your body feels and moves and digests your food. It's powerful. Now, if you're doing this for 2 weeks, I'm challenging you further. I want you to have 3 days in that 2 week period where your fast is 16 hours or more. Now, if you're already an intermittent faster and this is no big deal, whatever your normal fasting window is, add 3 hours. Add 3 hours at least three times. So you have to push your body past what it's used to. So if you're like, well, I already, like, it's probably 13 or 14 hours. All right, then 3 days a week, I need you to have a 17-hour fast. 17 hours is what triggers autophagy, so it's going to be good for you anyway. So this is an incredibly surefire way to break a weight loss plateau. So recapping, I recommend you do this for 2 weeks. Every single day, you're going to have a 13-hour fast. You're going to only be eating meat, fish, eggs, vegetables, and every day you simply have to make sure you eat a sweet potato, a banana, and an apple. You can prepare that sweet potato however you wish, by the way. You can steam it, bake it. I like to slice it in the oven and bake it off, with, like, cover it in foil so it stays nice and tender. Then I put cinnamon on it and I eat it with salt and pepper. I like to eat that with eggs in the morning. Super good. You are going to
be making sure, I didn't mention, you're going to hydrate. You're going to make sure you're getting lots of water in. You're going to stop eating 2 hours before you sleep. No junk, no alcohol, no condiments, no sugar, no gluten, no dairy. That's it. You can do this. 2 weeks. Now, if you're going to do this, I would love to hear how it goes. You don't have to overcomplicate this. Just go to the store and buy a bunch of meat and fish and eggs. Get a bunch of veg. Plan out the meals for a couple of days. What I often do is I'll cook up a whole bunch of one thing. So this week I made like a ton of chicken legs. I baked them until they weren't quite done. Then I put them in the refrigerator. And then when I wanted them, I threw them in the air fryer so they got crispy on the outside and they finished cooking. Or I could microwave them. And I had chicken legs and I ate those. That was my protein. And on the side, I'd have a couple hard-boiled eggs. So hard-boiled a bunch of eggs. Today, I'm going to cook like 3 pounds of ground beef. I'm going to put it in the fridge. So in the morning, I can take some. I can have some with eggs. At lunch, I can put some salsa on it and put it on my salad. At dinner, I can eat it. I could put some chopped up tomatoes on it. I can eat it just with another egg. I can eat it with taco seasoning. I can put some rosemary and salt and pepper and thyme on it. Eat it that way. I really like that. Delicious. It's really good on salad. It's really good with eggs. I might make a couple pork loins. Put those in the refrigerator. That's really, really good just on a salad on its own. Get some smoked salmon. Smoked salmon is really good to put on salads, or you can bake some, obviously bake some salmon or put some in your air fryer. If you like seafood, shrimp, scallops, that's really, really good, high protein, delicious. You can put that on salad. You can make a giant omelet with tons of vegetables in the morning. I like to get a nice ham steak. I like chicken sausage, pork sausage. You know, it's fine. We're not working on controlling our fat and our calories on this. We're worried about getting our eating window lower, and we're worried about getting single source proteins. But you can get some pork sausage or some turkey or chicken sausage that just basically has spices with the meat. So there's not a whole bunch of ingredients, but just be careful. Check those labels. No nitrates. I can't talk. Anyway, so don't overcomplicate it. It's basically just eating single source foods. You don't have to make anything into a casserole or a recipe all the time. People ask me all the time, like, how do I stick to this long term when I'm really busy? We can stop with the recipes. I know it's fun to have different flavors, but if you strip it down and just make it easy on yourself, get basic seasonings and just get yourself used to eating, you know, a pile of protein and a pile of vegetables, it saves time and it takes you away from this idea of everything has to be a production. It doesn't have to be a production. And if you do like to cook and you like lots of recipes, that's awesome. Take these 2 weeks to stop doing that, reset, get that scale going, and then you can start thinking of like, well, what are some other recipes that I can make now that I've gotten connected with my hunger, my satiety? I know what proteins I really like. I know what proteins I got sick of. And hey, I like incorporating an apple, a banana, and a sweet potato into my day. Why did I choose those? Because an apple is really delicious. It will handle your sugar cravings if you have them, with good fiber for your gut. Sweet potatoes, one of the most healthy carbohydrates that you can eat, gives you a lot of energy, also great fiber. Banana, again, it's good energy. It's good fuel so that you aren't exhausted. And banana is amazing for your sweet tooth. It tastes good. It's sweet. It's naturally sweet. And so those three things, if you don't like banana or you don't want banana, have an extra apple. I love apples. Apples make me happy. I will often core a couple bananas and or a couple of apples and just take them with me. So I have those as my snack. So you shouldn't be suffering on this. You shouldn't be hungry unless you're in your fasting window. And even that, you can endure a little hunger at the end of that. But if you're eating a nice quantity of these proteins and vegetables, there's no reason for you to be hungry. And you're giving your body the nutrition that it needs. So if you grab this challenge, let me know. And especially when you're done doing the challenge, I want to know how you felt. I want to know how it went. You'll have to do a little planning for your weekends. Like, this is Super Bowl weekend. I'm doing this protocol. So I have to bring my own food to Super Bowl party. But you know what I'm doing? I'm bringing chicken wings. And I'm going to bring my apple with me. And what else am I going to bring? Oh, I'm going to make some little steak bites. So I'm going to have – and deviled eggs. So I will not be eating the deviled eggs because there is going to be mayonnaise and mustard in them, but I'm going to eat the hard-boiled eggs. So I'm going to have hard-boiled eggs, steak bites, and chicken wings, and an apple. So I have plenty to eat. So what's the problem? So if somebody brings a veggie tray, there you go. But yes, no condiments. You can't dip it. The reason no condiments, we're resetting our taste buds. We're pulling all of the calories from anything processed, anything multiple ingredient, and just pulling it out for a couple of weeks to give our body only real simple ingredients. It's a way to make your body say, aha, thank you. So there you go. There is your protocol for busting a weight loss plateau for 2 weeks. If you have questions, let me know. I'm going to type this all up and put it on my Instagram. So go on my Instagram. It's The Kristen Experience, and you'll be able to see this there as well tomorrow. So if you want to grab this protocol, it certainly is not going to hurt you. And I think you'll find some great aha moments on what you like and how easy it is to stick to something like this, because it's not punitive and you won't be starving to death. And you might find that fasting is something that really triggers your body to do some exciting, amazing things. So give it a whirl and let me know how it goes. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, kristen@kristensmithonline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.